The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Fabs today, fantasy football with Michael Fabiano. Break down your team. Just break down in general. My team blows. I feel like just running my whole roster by Michael and say, let's start over. I'm watching the game last night, and the play that everyone is talking about where penalty is called for roughing the passer that was just ridiculous, the Brady call on Sunday. And then there's the other side of the coin of, can you believe how many quarterbacks are hurt already? How many quarterbacks are out? And so I know that there is a make it reviewable to see if, in fact, it was a personal foul or not, which in last night's game I would think would be overturned without any question, any way, any shape, any form. But I do have to take the side a little bit on what do we see in terms of protecting players at that position. More on that in a minute. Fabs comes up in about 20 minutes. I was at an event yesterday afternoon with Sean Aguano, the interim head coach at Arizona State, and I have some concerns because of what has happened previous to coaches and meeting up with the big cigars, the boosters, the alums, and all that stuff. It's not a criticism. It's just a concern. That is all straight ahead. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we do appreciate their support. I'll just go with Aguano first and then get over to the NFL stuff. Today's the baseball playoffs. I don't have one eye on here in my man cave on the game that is going on. I actually turned it off. And I will be watching Padres-Dodgers, not because I grew up in San Diego, not because I don't cheer for the Padres. I don't cheer for any team. I just don't do that. If you ever hear me say words like, hopefully this player is able to play this week, then I'm probably getting a check from the team. Or I'm under orders to say things like, well, we can only hope. Or when you start hearing people on the air say we and us, or big red, or forks up, or bear down, or go Suns, I probably need to hang it up because that's just not going to happen. Unless I am doing some work for somebody, for a team, which I have not done in years because many teams don't like it when you speak truth. They just want you to sell tickets, and that is that, and that is an embarrassment to the industry that I do. A little bit of everything, okay? So I got to be the right fit. Got to have people with backbones in the front office. Can't have people that are just like, oh, my gosh, they were critical of us. Yeah, the team blows, okay? Just so we know, the fans actually want you to be forthright and honest in your opinions. And not, well, how could you say that about this? I don't know. You haven't been to the Rose Bowl since 1997. What do you want me to say? Forks up, go Devils, El Paso's great. That's not happening. So yesterday, Sean Aguano, I went over to DC Steakhouse in downtown Chandler. It is a place that I go to every few weeks, every month, or thereabouts, because it's a group of alums that like to get together that are well-intentioned Sun Devil businessmen and women. There's actually some Wildcat people that are there too. It's fine. It's people that, you know, they love their school, but they don't go over the top, and they actually do write checks and they actually do support. They don't just talk about it. They do it. So I've been going to this for, I don't know, 10 years. And Sean was going to be there yesterday, Coach Guano. So I went. Borgay was there after throwing his touchdown pass. Borgay's dad was there. Case Hatch was there. Very nice to visit with all of them. Saw the vehicle Borgay got after the game. It's nice, beautiful, amazing. And then Sean shows up, Sean Aguano. Now, there are about, I'd say, 50 people that are in this one area. And they're mixing and mingling. There's business being done. That's what this is on Mondays. And Sean is just there to... As soon as he walked in, there was people who were cheering and this and that, and they all want to know, you know, is he going to get the job or not? So I'm watching all this in my own space, and I'm just seeing how it goes. And after about an hour, it's time for him to go. Here's why. So when Todd Graham was able to get the stadium done with a lot of his sweat equity and going out and speaking. There are people at Arizona State that would tell me, oh, our coach has gone out to 126, 130 speaking engagements this year. That's amazing. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's reckless. What is he here to do? Raise funds or win football games? There's a balance. Some of you don't like to hear this. Some of you, I think, just want your coach to be there and just, it's the, well, that guy didn't sign an autograph for my kid, so he's a bad guy mentality. It's no win. And I remember the Todd Graham thing when they told me how many that he had done. I said, that's probably about 120 more than he should do. He should do about 4 or 5 of these a year. It's fine. It's fine. Because in Sean's case, he is only getting one bite at the apple. And he has a tough putt to make. I'd still be surprised. I'd still be surprised if Sean Aguano ends up becoming the next head coach at Arizona State if they remove the interim tag. I shouldn't be, but I just know that at Always Something University, that there's always something by door number 4 that you don't think about, you don't walk through. And I also think there's going to be some candidates that you may look at and say, you know, if Matt Rhule would come to Arizona State, considering he's being paid so much money from Carolina, and ASU is already writing checks to Herm and to Todd and, you know, the debt that's going on over at ASU from what I hear about, even though the enrollment's at record numbers. Now, Matt Rhule, could you get him? And could Sean Aguano be part of that staff, or is Sean Aguano going to say, you know what, I got a taste of being a coach. I got a taste of it, and I can't go back to be a coordinator or a position coach. It's all moot if they go out and they lose. People are now expecting the ASU to go to Stanford and win. They're expecting them to go to Colorado and win simply because those teams aren't very good. Well, I don't know. Is Arizona State very good? They look like they've turned the corner, but let's not sit here and pretend that Sean didn't inherit a roster that's depleted. There's been players that have left since Sean has taken over as well. And so while it was a great win over Washington, that doesn't mean that Sean Aguano is definitely the next head coach. Like Wilner and I talk about this every Monday, John Wilner from Wilner Hotline. Who's the coach that would put the fear of God into the University of Arizona if that coach were hired at ASU? And, you know, I agree with John somewhat, but not all the way through. What would Sean Aguano bring? Sean Aguano, because the U of A coaching staff, I was talking with someone yesterday, one of the top 3-4 programs in the entire state, their staff, whenever they come in contact with the University of Arizona coaches, love them. When I went to Tucson a couple of weeks ago, the people couldn't be more hospitable. And I'm just a media guy, you know, but they couldn't be more hospitable and roll the carpet out. Jordan Hamm from our team is down today in Tucson. Why? Because U of A is a good story. U of A basketball has some things going on today. They're very engaging and very welcoming. It's not to say Arizona State's not. It's just kind of a feel of like, we got a lot of sports here. We got a lot going on. We're under the gun financially. You know, so Sean, would he put the fear of recruiting into the University of Arizona? Maybe. Is U of A coming back to earth, as some on the Sun Devil side would like to think? U of A's defense has been awful, just awful. And Jaden Delora has been up and down, but there's still some very talented players on that side of the football. Like this year's Territorial Cup, if you're in that boat of, Sean Aguano has to beat U of A in order for us to keep him, if you're on that ASU side, not me. If you're on that ASU side, well, if he beats the U of A, it's his job. I'm sorry that you were in that environment growing up, that that's the only metric of success, because you probably might be on that side of, well, if we go 1-10 and the only victory is over U of A, it's a great season mentality, and that's just crazy. It is. You know, I'm watching Sean yesterday, and I hope that he, you know, that doesn't get pulled into too many events and too many things. There's places he needs to be. There's shows he needs to do. There's ways that off the field he needs to mix and mingle with big cigars. But like Todd Graham getting run into the ground, Sean doesn't need to do that. I actually told him that yesterday. I was talking to him like, it's great seeing you. I don't want to see you out at too many events. And I've known Sean a long time. I believe Sean could do the job if he has the right assistant coaching staff around him. Because I do believe that there's some players, some big name players that are considering if he were able to get the job, they'd come. And I mean the biggest of the biggest of the biggest. So, you know, all that to say, it was just interesting to be in that environment yesterday, see how people reacted to him and handled it. And I had some people ask me too, I don't know if you've noticed this, Todd Graham's name is out there quite a bit. You know, Todd's going to do some work, not work. He's going to be on the National Football Foundation board along with Penny, the way that it sounds. I'm on the NFF board, National Football Foundation Valley of the Sun chapter. Very proud of that. Great group. Todd was at Saturday's game. It was all over social media. Todd was at the Pat Tillman School ribbon cutting, sitting in the front row. I was at that. And some people have said, so what do you make out of Todd Graham being around? Well, as long as Ray is here, Todd's not going to be the next head coach. Does Todd have a shot at doing something else? I think Todd Graham is a tremendous fundraiser. And maybe he's hitting that space of, you know, I've done this coaching thing and I have a house here in the Valley and I kind of like it here and I could go into some place of administration at Arizona State if/when Ray is no longer the athletic director. I think that's plausible. And some people I was talking to yesterday were just asking, you know, why is he around so much? But a good day there. You know, the Cardinals getting ready for Seattle this week. Geno Smith has played as well as anybody. In fact, I got to talk to Fabs here in a couple of minutes, Michael Fabiano, about, you know, fantasy-wise, you got to pick up Geno Smith. And DeAndre Hopkins is back next week, so the strategy side of it, we'll get into all that with Michael Fabiano. And what does the NFL really need to do about this, about what happened about the roughing the passer? Because, again, this league supposedly has it all figured out. And they're just getting crushed again because 2 weeks ago was concussion. We got to change things during the season with the NFLPA. And then it's what is really roughing the passer after the Brady thing and what happened last night. And I'm just amused when a league has to, in mid-season, season's going on. We got to change this rule. We got to change this policy. We have to change. So you don't have it figured out. You're just kind of going along. And your ratings are great over on Amazon and on the TV side, never better. But man, the minute that somebody says, you might have a little pimple over there by your earlobe, whew, all of a sudden it's, oh, it's week, we got to figure it out. We got to just change this. So kind of funny on that front. Fabs is next. We will get to Michael Fabiano. Our chairman of the board is the Iron Man, Jared Nielsen. He continues to crush it day in and day out as well here on our platforms. We're back with Fabs next. Time to catch up with the Hall of Famer, the one and only Michael Fabiano. I know Fabs does not want to talk about his show on SiriusXM Fantasy, or he might, or on SI.com, because he's a Yankee guy. So today is all about, no, it's not all about the Yankees, but I have to just wonder, when the Mets got eliminated, do you jump up and down? Are you one of those guys?
Oh, I was so excited. Well, like, I'm a Yankees fan. I hate the Red Sox, but I also hate the Mets because New York, I'm from that area originally. Yeah. And I just have a lot of Mets fans, friends who are, I guess, unrealistic in their expectations.
No, they're obnoxious.
And so
they're obnoxious. That's
yes.
What they are.
So when they got knocked out of first place by the Braves, I smiled. And when they got beat by the Padres, I laughed. And one of my friends in particular, I was able to have a little fun with. Because I love the Yankees. You know I love the – I don't think we're going to the World Series. Houston's got our number. Cleveland's playing really well. We typically do well against Cleveland, but you know they've got a good team. Gerrit Cole, please don't give up home runs like you have all regular season long in this game tonight. But – I don't think we're going to the World Series. If we did, great. I'll be all for it. But the Mets fans, at least my friends who are Mets fans, were all, we're going to the World Series and this and that. And you know, now their response is, well, Aaron Judge is going to be our center fielder next year. No, he's not. Sit home, enjoy the rest of the playoffs from your couch because your team is out.
When Aaron Judge signs with the San Francisco Giants, play the Dodgers next year.
I'll tell you this, Brad, if Cashman and the Yankees let Judge get away, No one will forgive him in the Bronx. No one will forgive that team.
Ever, ever.
Ever. No one. This is not like Jay Buhner. This would be a monumental fail, maybe the biggest fail in the history of the New York Yankees franchise if they let him leave.
So here's the check, Mr. Judge. Here's the check. It's blank. Just write in the zeros and the decimal point, and we're going to be good.
And you know what? He's probably coming off of the best season he's ever going to have in his life. Doesn't matter. Got to pay him. He is the face of the Yankees. It's almost like if Jeter was allowed to leave as a free agent. Like, he is the Jeter of this Yankees team right now.
You know, Fabs could do this for hours.
But hours.
We have a very short window. Let me just jump right in the mailbag. We have a lot of questions about quarterbacks. And
not surprised.
Yeah, I know. And so it's like, let's just go down the list. Teddy Bridgewater, what are you hearing? I had read that second half he was cleared from protocol. What are you hearing? What's Miami's quarterback situation?
I haven't heard anything about Bridgewater yet. And I think with everything that's going on right now with the concussions around the National Football League, you almost have to expect that he'll miss a game. And I had to start Bridgewater this week in a 2QB league. I got nothing from him, right?
Right.
And a lot of people are hurting, right? You got four teams on a bye this week. So the quarterback position is even thinner. Now, I do not have any inside information on whether or not Bridgewater is going to play. I mean, Tua, you know, is he going to be back this week? We don't know. We just have no idea. There hasn't been any reports coming out. But I will tell you this. If Skylar Thompson is the quarterback in the Miami Dolphins this week, and I'm starting the Minnesota Vikings defense everywhere I can, and I'd be real afraid about Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Where are you at on Carson Wentz? Carson Wentz quietly, Fabs, is doing some stuff in fantasy.
Yeah, three of his five games have been really good, actually, in fantasy. Like, two of those games have been over 27 points. On the field, is he any good? I mean, I don't know. I mean, ask the Colts. He had seven picks last year. Matt Ryan's already got seven, and we're 5 weeks in. So he has his ups and his downs. I don't really like what Ron Rivera said, though. I don't know if you caught that quote. He was a bit disparaging about Wentz without mentioning him directly. If you haven't heard that, you may want to check that out. But do I like him this week against the Bears? I mean, like, you got four teams off. You could do worse.
Right.
You want to talk about a terrible Thursday night game. Like, last week we had Broncos-Colts. The NFL put us through that miserable matchup. And now you've got Commanders-Bears? Oh, not exactly a fantasy-friendly game. But Carson Wentz, like, is he a QB2 right now? Yeah, he is. You may not love starting him because he's inconsistent. He'll drive you crazy. And I don't think you have to start him every week. But when the matchup's right, like it was last week, you know, again, you could do worse.
Is worse Justin Fields this week? Seriously.
He's done very little. I would rather have Wentz than Justin Fields this week. Yeah. And the matchup's pretty good for Justin Fields, too. Mm-hmm. They don't throw the ball at all. So unless he can get you 50, 60 and a touchdown on the ground, I mean, Justin Fields is not going to help you. That Bears offense, you want to talk about a wasteland in fantasy. There's one guy on that team you could start, David Montgomery, with any kind of confidence. That's it.
Fabs is with us for a few minutes. You can find his content over on SiriusXM, Fantasy Dirt, and, of course, at SI.com. It's a great Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. Geno Smith. A lot of questions about Geno Smith. I've seen some analytics stuff that he's been the most productive in certain analytics to this point of the season.
It's crazy.
Both of us would be like, there's not a shot. Where are you at on Geno Smith and buying him, starting him?
I'm after last week, I'm in. New Orleans' defense has been pretty tough against quarterbacks, and he went in there and had a huge game, could have had a better game, had a fourth touchdown pass negated because of a holding penalty. Geno's played well. Like, I crapped on the Seahawks in the preseason. I was worried about DK. I was worried about Tyler Lockett. Guess what? Geno Smith is a better fantasy quarterback than Russell Wilson right now. And it's not close.
Not close.
Which is insane. Yeah. And you know, I say it every year, Brad. The only thing that's predictable about the NFL is that it's unpredictable. Okay, here's me with my hands in the air. Like, if you grab Geno Smith off the waiver wire, he's got Arizona this week. Sorry, Cardinals fans. I'm starting him. I am starting Geno Smith. It's crazy to say. Maybe it's just a Jets thing. Like, if you're drafted by the Jets as a quarterback, there's going to be automatically a period of time where you're not good. And then maybe you'll get a chance to get away from the Jets and potentially meet your expectations. Now, that didn't happen with Mark Sanchez or Sam Darnold. But Geno, he looks good. I got to give him all the credit in the world, man. He looks very good.
Are you ready to walk away from Russell Wilson?
I don't know if you can, depending on what kind of think about the quarterbacks in the league right now. This past week, we had two third-string quarterbacks, right? Bailey Zappe, and we had Thompson in Miami. This week, not that Baker Mayfield's any good in fantasy, but like P.J. Walker is going to start for Carolina, which means start the Rams defense. Russell Wilson hasn't been any good. Matthew Stafford's droppable at this point. He's been so bad. Dak Prescott got hurt. Trey Lance got hurt. He's out for the season. Tua got hurt. Aaron Rodgers seems to have a ceiling of about 17 or 18 points. That's it. Where are you going to go? Like, where are you going to go if you don't start Russell? If you grab Geno off the waiver wire and you can play him this week, 100%. 100%. The matchup's not good for Russell this week against the Chargers in L.A. 100% do that. But, I mean, where are you going to go? Like, I mean, honestly, you got four teams on a bye this week. Like, where are you going to go at the quarterback position? There are a few pivots. I think Geno is certainly one of them. But, I mean, it's gross. The quarterback position is bad. That's part of the reason why I'm having maybe the worst start of a fantasy season in my history.
Yeah.
Is because what is my draft strategy? Go after running backs and wait on quarterbacks. Hasn't worked. It has not worked this season for the first time in, I think, forever.
Let's get into the mailbag. And this is from Russell. He says, I was offered a trade. I get Jamar Chase, send them Kamara, 12-team, half-point PPR. All those. Also, this is a one-player keeper league. What does Fabs think? Jamar Chase.
So you would get Jamar Chase and you would give up Kamara?
Correct.
12. I'd rather have Jamar Chase, especially in a keeper league. No question about that.
All right. More from the mailbag. Damian Harris hamstring. What does Fabs know?
He's going to miss multiple weeks, which means that Ramondre Stevenson is going to end up being a low RB1, especially this week against the Browns. Really, really good matchup. Mm. So if you've got Ramondre Stevenson, you're very happy because he looked great last week against Detroit, and he's got another good matchup this week.
Penny injury in Seattle. What does Fabs think about Walker?
I like Walker. I thought eventually he would take the job. Penny, unfortunately, is a guy who just can never stay healthy. He's got durability issues he has ever since he's come into the NFL. Ken Walker is going to be the biggest name off the waiver wire this week. If you have priority, go out and get him. Seattle's offense is playing very well right now. Right, then they're playing very well, and you know he popped a long touchdown run last week. Walker did. I think he's a more talented player than Penny. I think the Seahawks were just giving Penny a shot because they gave him a 1-year contract, a prove it kind of deal. They drafted him in the first round, which was unfortunately not a great pick for them. But now I think Kenneth Walker he's the guy. He'll lose some love to DJ Dallas maybe in the passing game a little bit, but Kenneth Walker is a good back, and I think he's an RB2 flex moving forward.
Two other players, Sky Moore with the Chiefs. Can they throw at anybody else? What does Fabs think?
Not rosterable in fantasy. He doesn't play enough as a wide receiver. They've already got enough wide receivers you can't figure out. Juju hasn't been good. MVS had a good game against the Raiders, but he's been mostly bad. You know, Mecole Hardman was okay against the Raiders too, but you can't trust him. You know, Pat Mahomes said it. Patrick, excuse me. I'll get yelled at. Said it in the preseason. This is not a great team for you to have in fantasy when it comes to wide receivers. And plus, Kelce, 4 touchdowns, giddy up. Who cares if he's 32? And this guy's unbelievable. He may end up going down in history as the greatest fantasy tight end ever. Right? And listen, Tony Gonzalez.
That would be
all the love in the world. He was great. He played for a long, long time. Right? Shannon Sharp, great. Rob Gronkowski, great. Okay? But Kelce, geez Louise. I mean, every year. He's been one at tight end for, 5 of the last 6 years, and last year he was 2. And right now he's on his way to being 1 again.
Hopkins coming back. We talked about this last week. Rondale Moore figuring in. What does Fabs think about Cardinal receivers here with Hopkins coming back?
Yeah, Hopkins is going to be put right back into fantasy lineups once he's back. He's got one more game to miss here. But I don't know that we're going to get, the same new Hopkins back. Maybe they're going to take a little bit of time to knock the rust off. He hasn't played in a while. He was banged up a lot of last year. I think he played in, 10 games? And now you've got Hollywood Brown there. Hollywood Brown's a good wide receiver. He's got a really good rapport with Kyler. Hollywood Brown's been one of the best wide receivers in fantasy football through the first 5 weeks. He's been great. Every week he puts up numbers. He's getting targets like crazy. So I would not be shocked if Hollywood Brown is a better fantasy wide receiver than Nuke Hopkins, even when Hopkins comes back. But that is going to cloud that target share a little bit. Ertz probably won't see as many targets. Rondale Moore, certainly after last week, you would expect maybe him to see some more targets. But once Hopkins comes back, you know, that's going to be a problem. But I would not be surprised if Hollywood Brown remains the best wide receiver in Arizona rest of the season.
Anybody you like this week, Fabs? You're just looking around saying, yeah, it's pretty good over here.
Gino, listen, man, right? Much like Pedro Martinez said about the Yankees, you know, Gino Smith is our daddy. None of us believed in him, and he's been fantastic. Ramondre Stevenson, you got to love him, right? Now, here's a guy who's under the radar, not in Arizona, Eno Benjamin. James Conner got hurt last week, and so did Darrell Williams. Mm-hmm. If Conner can't play and Williams can't play, Eno Benjamin is a smash play against Seattle. They can't stop the run. So if Eno Benjamin's out there on the waiver wire, I don't know what Conner's status is yet. It's too early in the week, or Williams. I would be looking to get Eno Benjamin all day long. If Ken Walker's gone, or you don't have that high waiver priority, don't be afraid to take a chance on Eno Benjamin. He looked good last week, and the Cardinals are going to be potentially without two of their best three backs. And James Conner, God bless the guy, should have saw it coming. 18 touchdowns last year. Regression was coming. We knew that. A guy who's had durability issues. Unfortunately, it's been a worst-case scenario for him.
I'll let you go off that. Good stuff as always. I'll see you next week. Thanks.
Got it.
There's the great Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, and we're back with more after this timeout.